Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold with you. Drew Nixon producing the show, co-hosting with me the next couple of days. Cody back on Thursday. Joining us as he does each and every Tuesday, that was Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. You got the prime seat this week.
Hey.
Prime seat. You're across from me. This is different.
Yeah,
normally,
this is
nice. That means Nate's on video, hey. Ladies and gentlemen. Nate's on video, Facebook,
no.
Twitch,
oh,
Twitter,
no.
YouTube. You got the nice vest going on.
I do.
Puffy
yeah.
vest a little bit.
Yeah, I'm vest guy today, you know. When it gets cold, you can stunt on them a little bit with some of the winter wear. I see Drew. I see you, baby.
Oh, that's right. The vest is a play.
Gotta have it. Gotta have it.
A couple years ago. I don't own a single like vest like that. I feel mm-hmm. like I don't know. Like I kind of want one, but it's never been part of the wardrobe. Like the puffy vest,
man,
or whatever.
Nah.
It just entered a couple years ago for me, and
right.
I like it. I like the look.
You get to a certain age, a certain stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
You go across the old pond. I was, you know, I was wearing this in Germany.
Wimbledon? Oh,
well, that too. But actually, it was warm, so I didn't bring a vest for last time. But when the Chiefs were playing the Dolphins in Germany, I pulled this thing out, man. Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice. It got a lot of compliments, you know. Had a lot of beers. You know, it's good. It keeps you warm. Arms are still. Functional, I can still
that's
spot
the main
up
thing,
and shoot
yeah.
a shoot a, like you need a jumper? Okay, I got you. Like, yeah, whatever. So it's pretty nice.
Thanksgiving,
pretty
good nice. For you. I mean, I saw you
oh
Friday
my God,
at the Chiefs
yes.
game, obviously, but Black Friday, which did not feel like Friday at all, was we're sitting there.
No.
Like it felt like a Sunday afternoon, but
the funny thing about Thanksgiving is I have become my father. I don't know if my dad's listening right now, Michael Taylor. but Dad, if you're listening, someone tell my dad. I'm become my father. I'm gonna show you a photo, Alex. Maybe I'll put it on the stream here.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it through one game, dog. Not one. Not one.
Really?
I took a nap in both them games.
Look, I don't blame you during the Cowboys game. I don't blame you. The first game, that's an early. When do you guys normally eat? I guess that.
So we did a charcuterie board.
That's what everybody's doing. We did the same thing
as the early slate. Yes,
everybody's doing that now.
It's
I feel
nice.
Like.
Look,
yeah.
Look at my wife's work. This is my child,
that's
by the way.
So more and more people are doing. That's what we did for the early slate.
For
we didn't eat
slate.
Till about 4:30.
Right. And then we had Thanksgiving dinner
mm-hmm.
as dinner time, 6:30, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I literally got woken up to have dinner. I was like, "Did
hey.
I just eat?"
Hey.
So I've become my father because I can't get through these games because this is what happened to me.
Oh wow, did your son do that?
Yes.
That's great.
My
that's
child,
great.
My child, in my.
We,
in
I
the
feel
most...
like we need that photo for the graphic now when you're on instead of the hot dog derby graphic.
Yes,
we need
yes,
that.
Yes.
We need that photo for those listening on the radio, not watching on video. Nate is definitely out. I mean, song logs.
Yep.
And I don't know what you got. A couple dog toys wrapped around
it's
you.
All dog. I think it's all dog toys. I think it's all of Maple's toys that Hayden has placed upon me. So obviously I wake up, I say, fire this man. That man being Matt Eberflus.
Oh,
go right back to sleep.
Nate, you've covered the league a long time. I was trying not to be like in the moment too much.
Nah,
like,
dog.
I've never seen
it's so
worst
bad.
30 second or so
oh.
clock management ever. Every coach has made mistakes. I've never seen something that bad where you walked out of there without even using the timeout. Like Caleb
yes.
Williams obviously needs to be better, but he's a rookie.
Right.
I put it on the coaching staff.
Right. And you got other veterans on the field. You got all these assistant coaches. I mean, what are we doing, guys? The other thing too, you know, I remember screaming at the TV. That was like the first time I really screamed at the television during an NFL game since that debacle between the Cowboys and the 49ers, where they ran a play but couldn't spike it in time.
Yeah.
They didn't have a timeout. So, okay, you're taking a calculated risk. Sorry, man, it blew up in your face. Season's over. Too bad. I didn't think they were the better team that day. Anyway, I thought San Francisco should have won. You got a timeout, man. We got to do something. And then, of course, I read the postgame comments on our website, theathletic.com, from Matt Eberflus, and I said, oh, yeah, he's toast.
They made him do the press conference the next day. Two hours later, they fired him.
Hey, you're going to eat this. You're going to eat this. Like, if that were to happen to me, I would hope my agent would be wise enough to tell me, hey, man, don't you want to be a retread head coach at some point? There can be no video of you the next day. None. No video of you. You cannot, like, fire me now. I don't want to do the press conference where I got to relive this. No.
Yeah.
So that's
you'll be a coordinator again because he's pretty good defensive mind.
Defense is good.
Yeah, but I don't know if he'll actually ever be head coach again. You cannot not after that blunder. He'll be a coordinator maybe next year even. But and there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of coaches that are great coordinators, just not meant for the head coach gig, and he's not meant for the head coach gig. If we're being nice.
I remember Mike. Okay, I'm gonna tell a funny story. I remember, this is what, 2018, 2019? I can't remember. But Vance Joseph, shout out to him.
Yeah. Having the time of his life.
Back in Denver as the DC? Anyway, but this is when Vance Joseph was the head coach, right? We would do the conference calls, yada, yada. My good friend Brooke Pryor of the Kansas City Star at the time, now of ESPN, she was like, so does he know he's getting fired? Does he, like, coach, like, you don't have to do the conference calls, like, it's over. It's a wrap. You're done. And so I always think about that, like, well, will Vance Joseph ever get a second job and second chance to be a head coach? If that's not going to happen for him, I don't think it's going to happen for Matt Eberflus.
No. Yeah, that was bizarre. We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider in studio. Let's get to the Chiefs now. And the game feels like 2 weeks ago now at this point against the Raiders. But it was, for me, a very similar feeling that we've had after the Panthers game, after a lot of these games.
Yeah.
Very similar deal. They obviously, once again, were very fortunate to get a win. This one was more on the fortunate than any of the other ones. Like, at least against the Broncos, that was not luck. That was, hey, a design field goal block. They saw it on tape. They executed. They get, this one was a little more on the side of the Raiders, and the Chiefs chiefed. And each one, as I said, has a different definition. We know what each one means. The Chiefs chief mean that he's found a way to win a football game, and they're 11-1. The Raiders found a way to lose a football game. And so here we sit. Coming out of that game, did anything change for you other than the obvious, which is, like, Wanye Morris cannot play left tackle for this football team in 2024 again? I think DJ Humphries has to start on Sunday night.
Yeah, not in this condition. Because they've taken it as far as they could take it. You know, I remember talking to you guys about them, obviously, being in communication with Donovan Smith. Of course, DJ Humphries comes off the ACL. There was a little bit of a bidding war, but obviously DJ decided to come to Kansas City. They maxed out as much money as they could give him via their limited salary cap resources. And Wanye took it as far as he could take it. I mean, the right knee is an issue. He can't pass it, the way he would want.
Is he truly hurt? Because a lot of people will say, and I think he is too, but people say, well, he's not on the injury report. Well, I think we saw, you and I were in the press box when he was in the blue medical tent against Broncos game, right?
Yes, yep.
And he barely made it to the locker room. And he came back in that game, but we were stunned.
A truly heroic day for Wanye Morris, because of course then we saw Kingsley Suamataia and they said, hey, can you please come back in the game? Can you please come back in the game? Even though you're severely hurt. No, he's hurt, which means he's compromised. He can't do all the things you would want a left tackle to do, of course, which further gets sort of exploited by, just a run-of-the-mill pass rusher. We're not even talking Max Crosby. Alex, we just talking. Hey, man, that's just a nice rotational speed rusher. That's their version of Josh Uche blowing by you every passing down. So, as I've reported before, as I wrote in The Athletic, if everything is to go exactly the way you want, starting essentially today and tomorrow, Wanye Morris will not play another significant snap for the remainder of the season. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be active. He won't be available in an emergency if something happens with DJ Humphries. But then now the plan is to get in that playbook, get with your quarterback, get with your offensive coordinator, get with Creed Humphrey. Hey, I need DJ Humphrey. DJ need to be next to Creed Humphrey and Joe Tooney for the remainder of time until Sunday night against the Los Angeles Chargers, so that he understands all the checks, the audibles, obviously some of the, you know, hey, if we see a cover zero, if we see, you know, maybe an exotic blitz, hey, if I hear what Patrick says with, you know, 5 seconds on the play clock, can I understand, all right, this is what I'm supposed to do, I'm going to be in concert with Joe Tooney. So they're going to speed him up as best they can. I know Andy was non-committal yesterday.
He hinted, though, basically what you just said, which is like, hey, unless something crazy kind of happens at practice, he's playing. We don't want to say it, but he's playing. Yes. Like, that's, we all heard it.
They have no other options.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I've said it a few times in the last 24, 48 hours. It's like, DJ Humphrey, this is one of those times in football where you actually can say it can't be any worse. And so it can't. Like, I know sometimes you're like, oh, it can always be worse. No, it can't. It can't be any worse. And so at the same time, though, we are putting a ton of stock in DJ Humphreys, who's coming off a serious injury, right? Like, I don't know what everybody's expectation is. Like, I think it's definitely going to be better. But also, admittedly, we're all just assuming this guy is walking in and everything's good to go. I hope that's the case, because if it is, boy, oh boy, the offense is going to look way better.
Right.
But there's also a chance, like, hey, he's still coming off an ACL injury. He's also not 24 years old.
He has had no preseason. He has had no padded practices. They're going to put him in uniform and say, hey, you know every trick in the book, right? Hey, give him, you know, I think this is, I mean, if I was the Chargers, which I'm not, but if I was the Chargers, I would tell the Chargers coaching staff, hey, expect a lot of short, quick, in-rhythm stuff. Little misdirection here and there just to try to get the quarterback in DJ, you know, in rhythm. So you should expect a lot of short, quick timing. Don't put too much on him too soon. But yes, I know DJ Humphrey is in year 9, and I know he's a very capable left tackle. He was a Pro Bowler in 2021, right? He ain't played against anybody in almost a year. Now go protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side, for the love of God. And oh, by the way, it's Joey Bosa now. It'll be Myles Garrett later. It will be TJ Watt coming down the road. I mean, it's not going to be as easy as I think most Chiefs fans want it to be. But hey, that's why you're professional. That's why they gave you this opportunity. DJ clearly wants to win. So if he could be the comparable at his position to what, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, his former teammate in Arizona, has been, then this will be a stunning revelation.
Oh, magically, you're going to see the worthy connection connect. You know, yes. you're going to have everything change for them. I think they'll maybe can utilize the running backs in the passing game more, because they're keeping these guys in, right? Because they have to.
Yes, you might want to run a couple screenplays, right? Get DJ moving on the, you know, on the landmarks from time to time.
The other thing that I think was evident out of Friday, and see if you agree, Joshua Williams should be the number two corner for this team the rest of the way. I'm not saying that he's like this great corner by any means.
Right.
I think his worst is not as bad as Nazi Johnson's worst, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And we saw against Jacoby Myers, I think he only gave up like 10 yards to Meyer compared to the 80, whatever Nazi Johnson had. They've got multiple issues in the secondary, but Josh Williams to me gives them the best chance to have at least some more competent play at that position. Do you agree?
Again, they have no other options. Hey, they gave the Nazi Johnson thing a thing. They gave it a thing. You know, we tried it. You know, we drove it off the lot. It is what it is, right? It's an A to B, but you're not styling in it. I love the fact that the Chiefs are 11-1, and they basically had an open tryout in the middle of the season,
they
Alex!
They pulled two starters in the game. They've pulled a left tackle twice this year, and they're 11-1. That's like, there's no way that's ever happened before in the NFL.
Dog, it's crazy. It really is crazy that they were just like, well, Chris Roland Wallace, hey, congratulations, interception. Get him out of here. Okay, well, let's do Nazi Johnson. Hey, coach, you had a concussion against the Raiders. Dang. Okay. Chris Roland Wallace? No. Okay.
What's the other guy? Keith Taylor
for three snaps. Get him out of here. Like, Nazi Johnson, he let another ball go over his head. Okay. Are you ready, Josh? Like, they basically told Josh Williams, just like, chill, dog. Just do your thing. We know what we have in you, but we are literally experimenting in the midway point of the season because Nazee Johnson, to his credit, he didn't have the lack of experience, or he had a lack of experience compared to the Trent McDuffies, the Brian Cooks, the Jalen Watsons of that 22 class. All right, now Nazee Johnson knows what he's got to work on in the offseason. Or if he is asked to replace another injury, okay, we have a baseline. We know what you need to work on. We know what we can and can't do with you. Okay, let's get the 6'3 freak out here who can at least, like, you know, be in the way when the ball arrives on time. And Joshua Williams, I thought, played very well, tackled really well, was not a liability in coverage, and we will see where it goes from here. But it's just so funny that, like, I think a lot of educated, smart fans were like, why is Nazee on the field? If Joshua Williams out there, and I'm saying, guys, they are literally experimenting halfway through the season and getting away with it. So now is not the time to experiment anymore because you only have 5 games, mm-hmm. and we are now in the true race.
It's December, man.
Yeah, it's a true race for the one seed. We saw what Buffalo did on Sunday, so you know who knows when they're going to slow down. So you gotta try to win out, and to do that, you need your best players on the field. And I think Steve Spagnuolo needs to find his best 11 sooner rather than later.
We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, hanging out with us here on Cody and Gold, 96.5 The Fan. The biggest positive I took from the game was the defensive line, to me, had their best game of the season. Now, I'm not saying it was like what it was last year.
It's not elite competition.
No. But it's not a coincidence, right, that the game that Charles Omenihu comes back, Chris Jones just has his first sack since week 4, gets 2 of them. Carl Loftus gets his sack. Like, and that was game 1 for Omenihu, and he also played 50% of the snaps, which was more than I thought most people believe. So that, to me, was a huge positive to see Charles Omenihu having that kind of impact, because it's not so much that I'm expecting Omenihu to have a bunch of sacks, although that'd be nice.
Right.
It's what he's going to do for Chris and George.
George and even Mike Data, right, because they can both be interchangeable whether they're rushing from the interior or the edge. So, no, I completely agree. I was stunned that the Chiefs just said, okay, well, just let him go. Like, he feels good. You know, Charles has, you know, done the right thing and waited his time coming off the ACL. So he played well. Chris Jones all of a sudden got 2 sacks rushing from the edge because now they have another player that they can put inside that's at least a legitimate pass rusher, right? Anytime, and I think this was the struggle for Joe Cullen, the defensive line coach, and Steve Spagnuolo. Well, if Chris wants to rush from the edge, who is replacing him in the interior next to Tershawn Wharton? That's either Mike Pinnell or Derek Nnadi. Those two are not the guys you should be asking to be on the field on 3rd and long. You know, George Karloftis has been durable this season, like he always been, but he's had a dip in, you know, some of his pass rushing production. So Charles Omenihu, if he gets better over these next 5 games, all of a sudden, hey, now you don't necessarily have to worry about the pass rush or even the blitzes. It's just, can the back end hold up? The Calvary was a Calvary of one, Alex. It was Charles Omenihu. He's arrived. Woohoo! Okay, who's coming for the secondary? Not a soul.
And that's why I still think the biggest concern for me going forward is still the secondary.
Yeah.
Even more than left tackle, just because, as you just said, like, they don't have, there's nobody else coming. This is it. This is the group that they have.
Yeah.
And that's where
Keith Taylor.
Yeah. He had the one good snap, I think,
Google,
right?
He had on Friday.
He had the one good
who's
snap.
Taylor? I know it's not Nate playing.
Is that your cousin? Is that your?
Yeah, Drew. We were in the press box. Like, yo, is that 39 on the field? Yo, what? Who's what? What? So yeah, I love the fact that Keith Taylor was like in the locker room, just like getting his. Yeah, I play well today. It's like, what? I earned my check. You're like, because everybody now knows you're on the team? Congratulations, sir. They have no other options. It's amazing. Brian Cook's got to play better. Jamari Connor's got to. Hey, man, can you just make a tackle? Just one. Just, yeah. Hey, Jamari. I love his energy.
Sure.
I love his desire. He got a lot of Willie Gay in him. I run fast. I run hard. Sometimes I miss. Like, hey, man, you can't do that against good competition. So Jamari Connor's got to get better. You know, and hey, at least if Joshua Williams is on the field, we would think Trent McDuffie will make a play or two because the team just won't fully ignore him because now you got to be a little bit more honest. So I think Justin Reed's been fine. They're not going to cover a tight end this year, guys. It's not going to happen. Stop asking. That's their hole.
That's also just like, I'll be like, in terms of what's detrimental to the, I just, that's like, that's still
what willing,
low.
That's what they're
low,
willing to give
yeah,
up.
Like, yeah, that's low on my list. Like, I know Brock Bowers had a touchdown. Brock Bowers is
so
also ridiculous.
Good. So
but
good.
In generally speaking, most of the time it's been yardage. They're not giving up touchdowns usually to the tight end.
Right. But even that touchdown he got, I was just like, did you see that route? Good. And it was a great throw, too, from Aiden O'Connell. So it's also funny to me that, like, everybody now realizes, hey, that Bryce Young kid looking pretty good. And I was like,
bingo.
Dog, he played even better the week before against the Chiefs. Like,
well, look, three times. Bo Nix had his, you know, played great, and then now he's been on fire since playing the Chiefs. Bryce Young is playing much better football. I don't know if Aiden O'Connell's gonna play better football the rest of the way, but we'll see. So there's two quarterbacks who've been playing a lot better.
He was serviceable until his mind combusted in the late seconds where it's just like, hey, no, why you stop clapping? You know, it's a silent count.
What a mess that was. They had multiple guys not set.
Yeah, that was his fault. So, no, it's a fair point. It's not who you play sometimes. It's kind of like when you play them as well in the season. And I appreciate that even guys who haven't won a championship on this roster, right, like Kareem Hunt specifically, I'll never forget that he was the one in the locker room after the Carolina game who said, no, guys. Like, he was almost coaching us as the reporters. He's like, no, guys. We are everybody's Super Bowl. And I was sitting there like nodding my head, like, yeah, that's a bar. That's a quote. Hey, he don't even have a Super Bowl ring. Right? You weren't even, but even he understands as a veteran, like, man, we're getting everybody's best shot. So whatever your baseline of play is, whatever your average is, it does kind of get elevated when you play the Chiefs because you know you're usually in a prime time sort of standalone game. And because they're the two-time defending champs, everybody wants to take their best shot at them. So it comes with the burden, the territory. But I do appreciate the fact that, hey, if we're just not going to cover tight ends, God, he's so good. God, Brock Bowers, my God. It's crazy that, like, you watch Sam LaPorta and Brock Bowers, and I'm like, guys, Travis Kelce was not this good this early. Terrifying.
Okay.
I'm talking both of them, too. Last year I saw LaPorta and I said, oh no. So these tight ends are getting so good so fast. And I'm like, it took Travis like 3 years to become excellent. And I'm like, Brock Bowers is almost near excellent. He would probably be excellent if he had a good quarterback, similar to Sam LaPorta now having, I only throw completions, Jared Goff. Like, I don't know what happened with him, but I'm excited to see Brock Bowers against the Chiefs for many years because I don't know how in the world they're going
to
come.
I mean, I don't know
man.
How I'm excited to see that against the Chiefs. I don't know.
I'm excited just because it means like fireworks. It means an actual viable threat. But
he's going to be a problem for a while.
Yeah.
He's going to be a problem for a while. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider for The Athletic. Do you have a couple more minutes to hang around?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's keep talking. We've got Nate Taylor. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Up next, I want to talk about the running game, or lack thereof, at least on Friday. What's going to change, if anything, moving forward. Plus, we'll talk AFC as a whole next. Final half hour of the show here on a Tuesday. Nate Taylor from The Athletic hanging out with me, our Chiefs insider, and of course, our conversations with Nate are presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. So the running game, I mean, we've all been around this team long enough with Andy Reid. They never should be run first. Nobody's arguing that. But also in a game that's, 19-17, they shouldn't throw the ball 46 times. They only had 60-something snaps. And Kareem Hunt and Pacheco each had 7 carries. And I get the number per carry was inflated for Pacheco because of the 134-yard run. But
yes.
I think they've been at their best when they've run the ball or when they're just throwing it up to D-Hop and they're drawing a penalty or whatever. Like that's when they've been at their best offensively. You were there with Andy yesterday at the press conference. Do you think that there's actually going to be a concerted effort, at least for a week, against the Chargers? A very good defense, by the way, too.
Yes, I would hope so. For a myriad of reasons, you do get the additional rest coming off of Friday. So you have 9 days, technically like 9.5 based on when you kick off, Sunday night against the Chargers. Of course, we presume that DJ Humphries will be in the lineup. It's a lot easier to run block than to pass block. And I also think, too, like, okay, if an argument was made to me that, hey, Nate, the reason why Patrick Mahomes almost lost his mind is because Andy Reid and Matt Nagy are trying to conserve, you know, Kareem and Pacheco for, you know, a legitimate stretch. Like, this is a sprint now. Very similar to like an NBA schedule where you're like, all of a sudden there's all these important days, you know, all these important games crunched together where, you know, you're going from Sunday night to early next Sunday against the Browns to Saturday against the Texans to Wednesday, Christmas Day against the Steelers. Okay, I understand that argument. Wasn't Carson still out there in uniform?
Steele, Pro Bowl vote leader at fullback. Carson Steele, by the way.
You know, a fullback is meant to block, and I think that's literally the thing he is the least productive at right now, especially pass blocking. So it's comical. But hey, he's had some good moments. Yes. I like him out of the backfield, sure. Especially
short yardage. Yeah.
Yeah, they should use him in short yardage, passing the ball. Like, why couldn't Carson Steele get like 6 touches? Coach?
I'm with you.
You need to get Patrick, I think,
46 times passing the ball. It's insane. Not a shootout. Like, it'd be one thing if it was 35-30, 19-7 or whatever the score was, and you're throwing the ball 46 times with a bad left tackle.
Yes, and you got to give that man a mental break. Just give him 40 seconds where he don't really got to, like, he'll go through the procedurals. He'll obviously spit out the playbook, but he could just like, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to go through this snap count. I'm a hand the ball off, get another 20 seconds of just like, okay, now I'm ready. Hey, I can pass again. Like, I, you know, where I think the reason he flipped out is because they just said pass, 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 and you're getting hit after hit after hit after hit to where he basically said, get Whitey off the field. I'm getting hit. So no, I don't think, unless to your point, unless they're in a shootout, I'm not sure they should have Patrick throw the ball 40 times in any game through this next 5-game stretch, right? Obviously, the postseason is a little bit different because those are 1-game samples and it's do or die. But for these 5 games, like, Patrick's got to get healthy. Obviously, that goes for Travis Kelce, Chris Jones, like Trent McDuffie, all these guys. So one way to do that is to, now that you have the, you know, the dual back feature, okay, let's give the ball to Pacheco. Let's see what Kareem Hunt can do as a change of pace. And then, yeah, in short yardage, if you want a nice little, like, hey, dump off, then give it to Carson Steele.
You mentioned the stretch that they got coming up in what, 3-10 days or 3-11 days?
3-11, technically, but it feels like 10.
Yeah, 3-11. Chris Jones was at the podium after the game on Friday, and he had this to say about something it sounds like he's going to be asking the NFLPA and NFL to do. I don't disagree with him. I just also, I'll tell you my thoughts after this.
One thing I'm doing this offseason is going to the NFLPA, especially with us having like 3 games in a 10-day span, that we're mandatory to have a bye, a late bye week. You know what I mean? Because with our schedule, it's kind of awkward, to say the least. We play 3 games in 10 days. Then we got a Christmas game coming up. 4 days after that, we got another game. You know what I mean? So I think that's a conversation to be had this offseason. If a team have somewhat of a schedule like that they have a mandatory late season bye, like, we don't need a week for a bye. Like, what are we getting the bye for? You know what I mean? Then if you are counting how far we go in the previous season, we go into the championship in the last 3 to 4 years, it's like, we don't need a week for a bye. Give it to us in week 8 or week 10, something like that.
So that was Chris Jones on Friday, Nate. I don't disagree as a coming from his shoes, right? If you're a player, you're like, you don't need a bye in week 4 or 5. They had a bye in week 6, I believe, right?
Yes,
this year.
Yes, it was week 6.
And they are in every single slot. They're playing every day of the week other than the one day the NFL doesn't have games. They're not allowed to have games or whatever on Tuesday. So I get that. I would say, like, there were 2 things that stood out to me. I agree with them. I think it's still kind of a one-off year. Like, next year wouldn't surprise me if they have a bye in week 9 or 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. I would love them to have a bye in week 14 this week. That would be great.
That'd be amazing.
That would be amazing. Houston, Baltimore, that have that. But also, step back outside of Kansas City. If we're being honest with ourselves, if I played you, the Chiefs fan, audio, of another player on another team in the exact same circumstance, you'd all say, stop whining. You don't need, the NFL doesn't need to make it easier for you. Like, I know that's what other fan bases would be saying. Do you think he has any does he have any chance of this working? Because I think it's kind of a one-off. I know last year they had a quirky schedule and they're going to continue to play in these prime slots. But also, we look back over the last 6 or 7 years, their average bye week has been pretty fair. It's it's been middle of the pack.
Yeah, this is
now. Look, next year if they get stuck with a week 5 or 6 bye week again,
then you might have a problem.
Then I'm all about it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree because since I've been covering the team since 2018, this is the earliest bye they've had, week 6, right? So that was one of the first things that sort of jumped off when I got leaks of the schedule before it was officially announced.
Mm-hmm.
So. Now, this would encourage a certain gentleman who cuts the checks. Now, I don't think this is player association at all. I understand what Chris is saying because obviously the player association is supposed to represent the players fairly in all negotiations, whether it's salary cap or obviously, player safety, i.e. rest.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a league issue. And I think the league is mischievous with this this nonsense. Because, there was a belief that Carolina could have took their game with the Chiefs to London or wherever the hell they played. They played in, Munich?
Yes. Yeah, people did think that was going to happen.
Oh, it was. And then the Panthers said, no, we got to have 80,000 Chiefs fans in our stadium in whatever late November. So stupid. There were more Chiefs fans.
Oh, you were there, yeah.
Yeah, there were more Chiefs fans in Carolina Stadium than Panthers fans.
Jeez.
When, again, they're the back-to-back champions. So, okay, you don't want to do that, Carolina? Fine. We'll just take the biggest market possible, the Giants. We'll just ship them over there. This encourages Mr. Clark Hunt. Hey, you want to build a global brand, baby? I'll give you a nice bye week after the game in
Germany next year.
Santa Monica, Geneva, Tokyo. I don't care where we Mercury, okay? I'll give you a nice bye week 9. Cut you a nice check, get some endorsement, get some international partnerships. Where you want to go? You were in Frankfurt. What's another place in Germany? You want to go there?
Berlin.
You want to go Berlin? You want to go Abu Dhabi?
About 25 years from now or less, they'll be there. They'll be there in 20 years.
So the belief is the Chiefs want to play more international games. With that comes a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
With that normally comes a bye week. A little around somewhere between Halloween to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, mid-November.
So there you go. It's problem solved, Chris. You just need Clark Hunt to convince some of these owners that you might want to have to give up that home game to get something else internationally, or it's going to be a situation where every other year your Kansas City Chiefs are going to take your home game and put it in Mexico mm-hmm. City or God knows wherever else, because that's what Clark Hunt wants. Whereas some owners say, "Hey, Chiefs are a big draw. We got to keep them in our local market."
Furthering the convo a little bit from what Chris Jones had to say, do you think every player when they see the schedule, the first thing they look for is the bye week? Right? We always hear that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're not aware of the schedule, even when they act like we don't know who's next up. We all know they're aware of the schedule. My question would be, if Chris Jones is saying that publicly, how much is on the mental side, how much is that impact? Like, does that worry you going into the stretch that the players are like, this is going to be brutal for us? Like, have you already lost something there?
Yeah, I think it's unavoidable. I think from a human standpoint, I just think it's unavoidable. Like, these guys, and you're trying to go for the one seed. So, there's even more pressure and a burden to it. It'd be one thing if you're like, okay, we're the Baltimore Ravens. We're 8-5. We're basically locked into the playoffs. Just tell me what seed we are, right? And coach, who I got to hate this week? But, the Chiefs are in a very peculiar situation because they're obviously trying to make history. They're trying to be the first team to ever win 3 Super Bowls. The easiest path towards making the Super Bowl is to be the team with the extra rest, with the home field advantage. Obviously, we know Arrowhead will play a factor in January. So there's real stakes for what they're trying to do. And then the league says, great. You know how fun that'll be? Go on the road to Cleveland, play Houston earlier than usual. Why? Just because we wanted it on Peacock. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, we just wanted a Saturday game because, you know, there's no more college football. We got to sell something to Peacock. Peacock got to get a game. Guess what? You the game. So think about that from a player standpoint. Hey, we could kick this off on CBS Sunday instead of Saturday at 3:25. Everybody will come in for that. CJ Stroud, Houston, Texas, sure. Obviously another playoff team. No. And you know what's even worse? Pack your bags, say goodbye to your families. You're going to Pittsburgh
on Christmas.
On Christmas? Day. Are you kidding me? It's already over. Like, if they have a mid-December swoon, it is totally normal because human nature tells you the league, the schedule is literally trying to schedule us losses. And it's unfortunate because if you look at the Bills schedule, which I'm sure some Chiefs fans have.
They better lose one of these next two against the Rams or Lions. Otherwise, they're going to be the number one seed.
The only issue for the Bills is going across the country, right? But guess what? Their schedule is not the Kansas City Chiefs schedule, kids. It's real nice and shiny. Mr. Alex, I see Sunday, probably Sunday, because God knows they would not flex the season.
Nah, regular Patriots,
season finale. It's against the Patriots. Yeah. So guess what, kids? Sunday. They are on a normal schedule. You are at a disadvantage. The league has specifically told you, y'all too popular, okay? So Peacock got to get a game. Amazon got to get a game. Netflix got to get a game. I'm sorry, what? You want fair competitive play? You want parity? Get out of here. So if Chris is already saying it now, everybody, yeah. I remember talking to Justin Reed about this. Justin Reed's just like, you got to be kidding me. This is insane. And all I can say to him is like, they making money though, dog. I mean, you'll get it at some point. It'll trickle down, but man, they making all the money. They put Beyonce on Christmas. You know how much money Netflix got to tell Beyonce, hey, I know it's your hometown, but come out of the house. What?
It's not in the cold.
It's not the Super Bowl.
And one time I saw Beyonce and Jay-Z was at that stadium in Houston, by the way. Yeah, it's a great venue for that, you know?
You already did the Super Bowl. It's not the Super Bowl. I can't even guarantee you you're going to get the same number of audience because it's on a subscription-based streaming service. Hey, but you gotta come out of your house on Christmas. I'm sorry. Like, that's crazy. So, I'm sorry.
How much money do you think they're paying? On Christmas Day. Yes, it's in her hometown.
Your jaw would drop. At the
32-time Grammy Award-winning Beyonce on Christmas Day at halftime of a Texans game.
By the way, you have to remember, her husband, Jay-Z, is a head of the NFL's entertainment proportion. Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Rock Nation. Mm-hmm. Hey, Jay-Z, find us a cool act for Super Bowl Sunday. I could have told you to get Kendrick Lamar. It's not that hard. They're already paying him millions. Hey, you know what? For you, my wife will step out the house. She'll perform for you.
Netflix
money. She'll sing some songs.
That Netflix money's different.
Oh, my God. So I just want Chiefs fans to be educated and understand, if you lose to Jameis Winston or if you lose to Russell Wilson in the Steelers on Christmas Day, the schedule was designed for you to not play at your best because you're not as rested as the other team. It's totally normal. Or the team that's chasing you has a unfair advantage because guess what? They're on just a normal schedule from here until whatever their postseason run starts.
Yeah, that's why the head-to-head matchup in Buffalo was obviously so crucial for the number one seed. I really think the Bills have to lose one of the games against the Rams or Lions.
Yes.
For the Chiefs to be the one seed. Chiefs aren't going 16-1, guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I just don't see that.
They finished. By the way, the Bills finished the season with Patriots, Jets, Patriots.
Yeah, it's an easy road. We got Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, joining us. If you've not watched the show,
season starts.
If you've not watched the show on video before, today's a great day. You can see the energy of Nate Taylor right now. It's terrific to witness on video and in person. The rest of the AFC, though, like I asked the question earlier, should we be taking Pittsburgh more seriously?
No! Okay. Get out of here!
Because
no!
I don't think Russell Wilson can string together good games like this. They can win a game.
Yeah, of course. Yes.
They're better than I thought they were 5 weeks ago. I'll give them that. And they got Philly on the road. If they go to Philly and beat them, I just don't think Russell Wilson can host a playoff game as a 3 seed and then go to Buffalo or Kansas City the next round and win. I just don't believe that.
That will be the test. And, you know, this is all the credit to Mike Tomlin, you know, a fantastic coach. He has squeezed the best you could possibly get out of Russell Wilson this far. Obviously, they were 4-2 with Justin Fields before he made the decision to go to the original starter based on his health. So, despite all the things that Mike Tomlin has done, is anything going to be different than last year? Because if you have to play the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo, even though I think y'all got the far better coach, y'all ain't got the better quarterback. And I've seen too many times y'all go to Buffalo and get curb stomped by Josh Allen. And I don't know, maybe Russell Wilson makes it a more competitive game, but I just don't think I know that they have a very good defense. They have not played the Buffalo Bills this season. Their schedule, to their credit, has been somewhat beneficial because they didn't win their division last year. That was Baltimore, of course. So they've beaten the teams they were supposed to be outside of maybe Dallas. I think they should have probably won that game. But again, that was with Justin Fields. So it's a different team at a different time. I think the game against Cleveland, that's a just throwaway because it's Thursday night, divisional game, and you add in the snow and the greatest Jameis Winston performance we may have ever seen, both on and off the field.
I mean, last night was the full Jameis experience, though.
So great. So great. So, I mean, they got Philly coming up. That'll be an interesting game to watch. They have Baltimore, obviously. They've already beaten Baltimore. That was a fluky-ish game. I think they're a good team, but they're good, but they're not great. And that's okay. Like, if you're the 3 seed, it's a massive accomplishment. But if you beat the Chargers or if you beat the Broncos in the first round, it's a hell of a successful season. I just don't know that team is going to Arrowhead or going to Buffalo and getting a win just because I think there's too much of a distance between how well the quarterbacks can play. And I also think, too, like, Russell Wilson takes a lot of sacks. That has still remained true. So in the playoffs, you need less negative plays possible. You need to make as few mistakes as possible. You need to put yourself in position to get as many points, chances at the apple as you can on the scoreboard, especially with Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen on the other side or Lamar Jackson, right? So I just get the sense that for as great as Russell Wilson has played this season, 414 yards against a abhorrent Bengals defense, I think the max for them is make the divisional round, win a home playoff game. Hey, win your division, win a home playoff game, see how much you can push the Bills or the Chiefs. But, you know, I don't take them serious as a Super Bowl contender.
Everybody nationally is talking about, you know, the Chiefs' problems, but the Baltimore Ravens, they don't have a kicker. I know the Chiefs will be getting theirs back here hopefully fairly soon. Mm-hmm. But the Justin Tucker thing is a real problem for them, and they claim they're not bringing another kicker. That's going to cost them a game in the playoffs. And then Deontay Johnson is literally a non-factor. They won't even play him. I don't know what the heck's going on.
Yeah,
with
I don't. I don't.
Have you heard anything on that? We all know the Chiefs were interested, yes, and it looks right. Like they dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, I got to check back in. I don't know what in the world is happening because I thought he was going to open up their offense, right? Which clearly was demonstrated against Philly. Like, hey, man, you're not going to be able to grind teams out all the time. And Lamar can only do so much against a defense that's, like, functional, right? And I guess Philly, now that they're playing Cooper DeJean, I got that right.
Cooper DeJean.
I got that right, Drew.
Yes, you did.
Cooper DeJean. I love Cooper DeJean. I got that right. So, look, they got a functional defense. Okay, well, you know, it would help if your kicker made some kicks, but
it's all mental for him, right?
Can you imagine Justin Tucker, season on the line, in Buffalo, in the snow, in the wind, make us a kick?
I wouldn't trust it, but you know, sports are weird. Watch him make that one, then everything else that happened doesn't matter at all regular season. Like, there's also that element. True. It doesn't always happen that way, but right. Like, you know how brutal that would be?
Oh, because he's a Hall of Famer, guys.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's great. He's excellent. But, man, Father Tom coming faster than I ever thought it would for him.
He was messing with Mahomes and Kelce in the playoffs last year and just hasn't been the same.
Ever since then, yeah.
Hasn't been the same guy.
Just stay in your lane, Justin. Just stay in your lane.
Good stuff as always, Nate. Appreciate it. Nate Taylor, Chiefs Insider. Check out his work over at The Athletic. Up next, it's C-Dot and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.